Hi, everybody. During the months of March and April, we are highlighting the work of Rios to Rivers in our community effort to showcase organizations who are working towards social justice, environmental action, and more inclusive public lands.
Rios to Rivers inspires the protection of rivers worldwide by investing in underserved and indigenous youth who are intimately connected to their local waters and support them in their development as the next generation of environmental stewards.
Founded in 2012, Rios to Rivers programs have connected 234 underserved and indigenous students from 20 endangered river basins in 7 countries. The programs have included students and community leaders from 21 indigenous nations.
Rios to Rivers envisions a world in which youth who are intimately connected to their local waters and tribal communities are equipped to become the next generation of passionate leaders for healthy rivers and communities.
Make monthly charitable giving a trend in your life in 2024 and help to support Rios to Rivers this March and April. Visit the link in our Instagram bio for more information.
Welcome to Trail Mix, the small mini episode in between the larger episodes of Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast.
On Trail Mix, we talk about a whole bunch of different things. Sometimes it's things that we weren't able to talk about in our larger episodes, like parts of our trip.
National park updates.
Yep. Sometimes it's stuff that's going on in our lives. Like, for instance, we talked about Halloween on an episode.
That's true.
And sometimes it's a mix of the two.
Today on Trail Mix, we are talking all about Asheville, North Carolina.
Asheville holds a really special place in our hearts. By the time this episode is live, we'll have visited Asheville 3 times. We'll have just done a trip to Great Smoky Mountains National Park early in November, and we use Asheville as our jumping off city. And why do we do that, Dusty?
Well, we have a very good friend that lives in Asheville. Her name is Nadine Charlson. We've mentioned her on the podcast before. She's a watercolor painter. She's a genius, but also because Asheville is like such an incredible city.
Right. Asheville is kind of the coolest. So
yeah. And it's only like an hour from like the Great Smokies.
It might be a little bit more than that. But
really?
Yeah.
Don't give me that look. You just looked at me like you're a liar.
You are a liar. Don't lie to our adoring fan base.
I am not a liar. You're a liar.
You're a liar. You're a liar whose phone goes off at 6 in the morning.
You're a liar. Don't even come for me. Mike stayed at my house last night. And, like, literally alarms in the middle of the night, waking up everyone.
Yes, everyone. From Ma to Little Jimmy.
To Little
Jimmy.
To the
dog.
Yes.
Yeah.
My neighbors came over and they were like, our children.
It was like
asleep.
A Norman Rockwell painting.
Mike, what do you love about Asheville?
Well, as an artist, there's so much to love about Asheville. It's an incredibly thriving arts community. So every time we go back, I feel like there are new artists in different spaces. The River Arts District is where our friend Nadine has her studio.
Yes.
But there's so many different artists that are working. I teach ceramics, so there's a lot of ceramic artists that are down there, but I also went to school for printmaking and I paint. So there's a lot for me just to be able to enjoy in that aspect of it and to see what people that are working creatively and working to kind of make their living off their arts are doing. It's really awesome.
Asheville is like a total hub for artists. The River Arts District in Asheville was created because there were all these buildings along the river that used to house various businesses because it was right next to the railroad and the river.
Right.
Like there were, you could get things both onto trains and onto boats.
Yes.
But that was so long ago. And then now they don't, those businesses have moved elsewhere,
right. I
but
think
those
also
buildings
of,
are still there.
I think also part of that was like down economic downturn too.
Right.
And looking to like reinfuse back into the city something that was going to be thriving and long lasting.
Absolutely. And they had all these buildings that were available.
Right.
So then they specifically, the city said, we need to court artists for these.
And it was
as
a
well.
Smart move.
And also some artists had already just like claimed space in some of those abandoned buildings and said, I'm going to use this as studio space. So there was like this combination of both like artists really liked the area and wanted to be there. And then also the local government was really into idea of bringing that into the city.
Yeah.
So now that sort of has infused everything in the city.
Yeah.
Well, the downtown is incredible. There's
right.
so much happening. There's so many restaurants, so many bars, so many art galleries. You can't I mean,
can't swing a dead cat, without
hitting an art gallery in Asheville.
It's true.
I really liked that one in the old Woolworths downtown, mm-hmm. where there are a ton of artists in there, but often those artists have spaces in the River Arts
right.
District.
Right. It's kind of like a satellite position for them.
So, yeah. So if you're a tourist and you're wandering through downtown Asheville, like, and you wander into the Woolworths,
right,
then you can take a look at all of the artists, of most of the artists of the River Arts District in one place.
Right.
They have a little card on each one of their displays to show where they are located in the River Arts District. Mm-hmm. And then you can head on over there. Along the river, there are so many different studios. A lot of artists will all be inside of one studio. That's what Nadine...
The 310 Arts
her
building.
Situation is. Yeah, she's in the 310 Arts studio. Mm-hmm. So a lot of artists are a part of that studio. And then right next door, there are so many other studios
right.
with lots of different kinds of artists.
And I think I just saw Nadine post something that one of the buildings that's also downtown, mm-hmm. they're just about to develop that. Like, it's in the process of being finished up for more artist studio space.
Oh, cool.
That building with all the graffiti on it, mm-hmm. That was, like, right near 12 Bones and the brewery, mm-hmm. That's becoming another artist space, wow. which is really, really awesome. I mean... I think, you know, aside from the arts, the fact that you're kind of nestled right in the Blue Ridge Mountains there,
and oh, yeah.
the scenery is, it's really incredible.
Let's talk about the Blue Ridge Mountains
sure.
for a second. The Blue Ridge Mountains, not a national park, but my goodness, what a national treasure they
oh,
are.
Oh my God, yeah. It's really a short distance drive to be in the Blue Ridge
oh, yeah.
and to be on the Blue Ridge Parkway.
Which the Blue Ridge Parkway, another national treasure of America.
Right.
I mean, it is a spectacular view. It's windy, but it doesn't feel like... There were times, like in Utah, we were like really high up driving around,
right.
and that felt terrifying.
Right.
But I never felt terrified driving on the Blue Ridge Parkway.
No, no.
It was definitely, you know, like you're on the side of mountains, so
right.
you got to take curves a little slower.
Right.
You don't, but
no,
you
like
know
a bat
that
out of
one
hell.
Has to.
That's right. I'm like Cruella DeVille when she's like driving for
oh
the Dalmatians.
That
yep. That's a very apt image that I'm
that's
giving
your
you.
Costume for next
that's
year.
That's my costume for next year.
Can I give a quick update?
Sure.
I wanted to say this.
Yeah.
When I went as Miranda Priestly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is like a corrections corner.
This is
but
well,
not really.
It's not a corrections corner.
It's an update corner.
It's an offerings corner.
Okay, offerings corner.
When I
How
went
many
as
corners
Miranda
do we have?
Priestly, right? I went to the gay Halloween party dressed as her,
mm-hmm.
knowing that I had to be, like, it had to be perfect
mm-hmm.
and accurate, or else I was going to get, like, read for filth right
mm-hmm.
and left by everybody. So I go in, and let me tell you, 80% of everybody immediately got what I was doing.
Uh-huh.
However... There was, I swear to you, about 10 people who walked up and they went, oh my God, Glenn Close. Uh-uh. No, girl, no. Your card has been revoked.
Right, right,
canceled.
Right. No, canceled.
You are canceled.
That's right.
Absolutely
You'll have to
not.
Wait 4 to 6 weeks to
Someone,
receive a new one.
Another person who was dressed as Cruella DeVille,
uh-huh.
albeit not well, but still technically
right, right,
dressed
right.
as Cruella DeVille, came up to me and was like, oh my God, we're both Glenn Close. And I went, no, girl. No.
Yeah.
Let's know.
But we all know that you have Glenn Close dreams.
Oh, I absolutely have Glenn Close dreams. But let's be real.
Yeah.
There was nothing about me that was
right,
Glenn
right.
Close.
No, 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 not at all. I'm glad that we like took that important detail on our journey through Asheville.
Absolutely.
You know, it was very integral. I'm
completely integral.
The public was clamoring for knowledge.
They were.
About
no,
what,
I really wanted to tell
costume.
Them.
Mm-hmm.
So. We drove on the Blue Ridge Parkway, and
we did
some hiking in
the
Blue Ridge
we
Mountains.
We did. Nadine took us hiking, and we were in the Pisgah National Forest. I think we were pretty close to Mount Pisgah.
Yeah.
But we did some hiking because I think it was when we were there in the summer, it was blueberry season.
Yes.
It was really close to being like peak blueberry
and
season.
Nadine wanted to know, or she was curious if we could get some blueberries.
Right.
And
we didn't,
did we?
No,
no
not
we didn't,
really,
yeah.
no. I think it was like if we were there probably like a week later because we talked to her and she was like, we went back up and there were plenty of blueberries.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, it was so beautiful up there.
Oh my God, it was perfect.
Like what a great space to hike into. And it was nice because it kind of gave us like a little bit of an inroad to what we would sort of experience when we were in Great Smoky.
Absolutely. Like, there was definitely like a lot of, walking over stepping stones in streams, and it was not terribly uphill ever. It just was sort of like a lovely little, you know, like trot about at the top of a mountain.
Yeah, it was really neat. That was like such a nice way to spend the day. We've been there both in the spring and the summer now, and you know, when this podcast launches, this episode, we'll have been there in the fall, but we haven't really experienced, as we're recording this now, haven't experienced fall.
No,
in
oh my god,
Nashville.
I'm so excited. I'm
sure that like
Nashville
it would have been
fall.
Really neat to be down there for Halloween. Like, I'm sure this is like a city that like embraces Halloween, and I'm sure they embrace the fall. Like, they probably go full tilt, but
it's a whole bunch of artists,
right?
Of course, they embrace Halloween.
I know, but I'm just saying it probably is magical down there this time of year. So I'm really looking forward to the trip.
Oh my god, I'm so looking forward to it,
and I'm sure that we'll have like an updates corner at some point about this.
Many
trip.
Updates corner,
because we're recording live inside of the Pentagon right now because
exactly.
We have five corners, updates corners,
five corners,
corrections corners. And
offerings corners.
There's two more we haven't revealed yet. What will they be?
I remember Nadine talking about the Blue Ridge Mountains so often, and I was like, oh, why are they called the Blue Ridge Mountains? I can obviously imagine for myself why, but when we were up hiking up there, mm-hmm. like you just look out and you're like, oh, I see why.
I just even think the drive up, because we were up early, so it was, you know, dawn had just broken, and
morning has broken.
Is this more Spring Awakening? No.
No, that is an old hymn, girl. That's like, and like a song from the 70s.
Okay,
like
I'm sorry.
People sang.
Well, you just went into tune, and I just wasn't sure what was going on.
Jesus
anyway.
Christ.
No, we got up early, and so we were up there as the sun was breaking over the mountains, and it was the gradients, the blue gradients, and even the mist, like the hanging kind of fog through
oh, yeah.
the valleys of the mountains. Like, what a sight. It was so incredible to see.
It was. What else did we do when we were in Nashville?
So, I mean, we've done a lot of things when we were down there.
The first trip,
we really didn't get a ton of time.
Let's talk about the context by which we have visited Asheville.
Sure, sure.
So, the first time we visited Asheville was on a road trip that we took.
Right.
Which we'll talk about
it
another time.
But it was not national parks related.
We started in Florida, and then we made our way up the East Coast.
Right. Well, we started in Jersey and
yeah.
ended in
and
Florida.
And then we drove to Florida and then came back.
Yeah.
But Asheville was a stop on that road.
Right.
On that trip.
Yeah.
Then the second time we went to Asheville was for a trip that included those two other national parks.
Congaree and Shenandoah.
Before.
Yeah.
Congaree and Shenandoah. And so this time we'll be going to hike the Smoky Mountains, as
right.
we have announced previously.
Yep.
And
for our second trip to the Smokies.
Yeah, our second trip to the Smokies.
Yep.
Yes. And third trip to Asheville.
Yeah. Yeah.
So things we've done in Asheville before. We went to the grounds of the Biltmore.
Yes.
We did not go inside of the Biltmore.
No, because it's like something like a $60 entrance fee
it
or
is.
Something.
And like, unfortunately, there's no sort of like not-for-profit
right.
like endeavor
right.
as like behind the ticket that you right. pay for the Biltmore. You're literally just paying $60 to go inside of a house.
Right.
Which it is magnificent. Apparently, we saw it from the outside. And
if
photos.
You've ever seen Richie Rich, then you know. Macaulay Culkin lived there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. I thought he was still living there when
mm-hmm.
we were there.
Me too. Mm-hmm. But we also ate dinner. There was the restaurant that was
there
on the grounds.
There is. There, and because there's a hotel. I mean, the Biltmore is on like a massive area of land.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's big enough to be its own national park.
The Vanderbiltmore,
right. We had dinner at that place,
yep.
and that place was great.
We went to Grove Park Inn.
We did, Obama stayed there.
It's a hotel and a spa. And talk
it
about...
It is incredible.
That's also a massive building, too.
Oh, that's huge. That is an art piece all by itself.
Right, right.
Talk about those ceilings. Those
right.
Some
I mean,
the
you walk
ceilings
into
I've
that lobby
seen.
Area, and it's just gigantic.
Yeah.
The comparable thing, and this is going to sound like maybe a little gauche talking about the Grove Park Inn with this, but... if you've ever stayed at the Wilderness Lodge in Disney, that's exactly like what that lobby sort of feels
like. The Wilderness Lodge was inspired by the Grove Park.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But there's also a spa on site, too.
Mm-hmm.
And from the back porch, you can really like look out and kind of, if I'm remembering correctly, see the city, right?
See
the surrounding area at least. Yeah.
But it's like slopes down the back of,
right.
of a mountain.
Right. And they have some artist collections too. They have like a gallery on site at the
There's
the
a
inn.
Lot to see.
And so there's a lot of like artists, local artists works there too. So again, artistry is infused everywhere in Asheville.
One evening in Asheville, we went to Drum Circle.
We did.
Nadine brought us to Drum Circle,
right.
which is what it sounds like.
Yeah.
It is like a celebration of percussion and just like a lot of people with their instruments.
Right, but in an open park.
But it was open downtown.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a downtown open area.
It's like there's not any like landscaping per se. I mean, there are trees, but it's not any green space. It's more of like a concrete sort
right,
of amphitheater
exactly.
type park.
I have from Asheville this musical instrument. It is, it's actually right behind me right now as we're recording it. This musical instrument, it's called a long neck dulcimer. And the company in Asheville that makes it is like they are the original makers of this. And now other people have like other companies now also manufacture similar things, but they were the originals.
And it's beautiful.
And it's a diatonically tuned instrument. So literally, like you hold it like a guitar, you can put your fingers anywhere. And no matter what you play, you're going to play something that sounds good.
Yeah,
much fun. I love playing it.
Talk about weaving together two different art forms so incredibly gorgeously.
Oh, yeah.
The instruments themselves have such unique design.
Yes.
Like, I feel like we stepped into Ollivander's wand shop. And
oh, totally.
The wand chooses the wizard, Harry.
Mm-hmm.
This is just, like, also all the nerdery. You folks are getting the nerdery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on. Which Harry Potter character are you?
Oh, who am I? This is like a BuzzFeed quiz.
This is like special quizzes.
Oh, special quizzes.
Special games.
Oh, special games. Mid-episode games.
Mid-episode games.
Who am I? Like, what an existential question this
yes,
is.
Who are you in the Harry Potter universe? I think my answer is Gilderoy Lockhart.
Oh, but he's like sort of a villain.
I know he's sort of a villain, but like I would totally write a book called Magical Me. In reality, though, I am like, I am a Hermione Granger.
Right,
full
through and through.
Through and through, right. And I'm a Ravenclaw.
Yeah. I think the person I identified the most with was, just because I thought he was a total kick-ass dude, was Kingsley Shacklebolt.
Mm.
And also, let's talk about that name, because
what
thank you, JK,
name.
For that.
Oh, for real.
I just thought he was like, he was the top dog there.
Yes.
But I am a Ravenclaw as well, as we've discovered.
Yes, you are a Ravenclaw, mm-hmm. even though I still stand firm that you are a Hufflepuff.
And I have a majestic black mare as my Patronus. What's your Patronus, Dusty?
A rat. According to Pottermore, I have a rat as a Patronus.
Right.
And let me tell you,
it's Pizza Rat, actually.
It's a Pizza Rat. Jesus Christ. Something that I really loved in Asheville, right behind the 310 Arts Studio, is there's a whole new development with buildings that they're building for more studio spaces. But what they did was they essentially just like opened it up and they said, hey, graffiti artists, like we want you to bring to life like all the kind of work you want on all of these walls.
Yeah.
And they were like, the rules is that there can't be any obscenities and no hateful language.
Right.
I think. And those were the only rules.
And when we first were down there, which was in 2016, was it 2016 or 2017?
The first time was 2016.
So it was the spring of 2016. That space was really just for graffiti. Nothing had been developed into those spaces. It was really just really incredible. And we'll post when this podcast is live, there'll be some posts up of those spaces. We have photos, plenty
and
of photos.
And now going back, like even a year later, it was
incredible development.
I mean, what was the name of the barbecue place?
12 Bones.
12 Bones is back there, which had moved. And then there's a brewery back there.
Yeah, there's a brewery.
And then a lot of different art galleries back there. Was there like a motorcycle shop back there?
It was either a motorcycle shop or a skate shop.
Or a skate shop, something
like that. I think
maybe
both actually were there.
Right.
So there's a ton of like life being breathed into that River Arts District. But it's pretty incredible that the city was so gung-ho about this becoming a developed space to, you know, infuse more culture into the city, to infuse more revenue into the city, obviously. And they really opened it up for artists to do so much of that work and really make it a comfortable space, I think, for artists to be.
And when you are strolling as a person, as a consumer of art, you can stroll through the River Arts District all day and probably not see everything.
Right.
There are just so many artists in every single studio. And like, I found like a lot of them have different tiers of their work available for sale. Like some artists will have like gigantic paintings for sale, and then they'll also have smaller paintings. And then if you really like this artist and can't afford to purchase a large painting right now, which we totally advocate for that, mm-hmm. invest in living artists. But they will often make like a small, more affordable piece of artwork mm-hmm. that more people could generally afford mm-hmm. than say like one of the giant pieces.
Right.
But that's still that small piece of artwork, you bring that home, that still starts conversation about
right.
where it came from. Nadine has something like this where she paints sunset postcards with beer.
Yes, yeah.
And she uses different beer brewed in Asheville because
yep.
beer makes beautiful sunsets in watercolor.
Yeah.
And so when you purchase one of these postcards, it's like displayed next to the beer that was used
yes.
in the painting of it.
Yes. And when we were down there, our second trip through, part of that was because you were filming a little documentary.
Yeah, I do
on
a
Nadine.
Lot of Nadine's. I do all of Nadine's YouTube content.
Yeah, so we were both working to film that, and that was a lot of fun. And it was really awesome to spend the day in the studio with her and see people come in. And you know, she had a few sales that day.
Oh, she did.
And it
she
was really, really neat to watch that process as people kind of nose through. She's such an incredible body of work.
Oh, it's incredible.
Yeah.
And she paints from photographs. So she'll take lots of different photographs and like composite the photographs and then paint, and the painting will be created based on the image of the composite photograph.
Mm-hmm. And she works
which is
so
all
much into it.
It's all in the YouTube videos that have been created about her work.
Right.
She has a train series right now that is mm-hmm. just exploding, actually.
Right.
I mean, she started painting some trains and like various different trains, because down in her area of the country, like all these old trains have been restored. So she's gone and she's like photographed them.
Right.
And I have to say, like, I did not know that how big a deal like trains are to some people. The train enthusiast community is serious. I did not know this, but they ended up being a lot of the patrons that purchased a number of her pieces.
And the cool thing too is that Nadine is really working to capture stuff in Asheville that isn't even there anymore. There was a roundhouse that I think it was there our first trip, and she took a bunch of photos of it. She was able to get, she knew someone that worked for the railway system. She knew it was going to get torn down. She was able to get on the grounds, like saying she was, you know, okay to be able to do it. And she took a ton of photos, which she was so excited because that's such a big part of Asheville history. And it's no longer there anymore because of such soaring development that's happening in Asheville.
But it was captured in artwork.
Yeah. One other thing that I wanted to talk about is the food. So, I mean, we did mention 12 Bones, which was an incredible barbecue experience.
Oh, incredible.
There is like one of the best breakfast experiences that I've ever had that
oh
we've
my
done
God,
both
yes.
times we were there. It's called Biscuit Head.
Mm.
And it is
so good. They have two locations.
They do.
And it's delicious.
And then we also went to that taco place. What is the name of that taco place that's also very famous? Okay, I just looked it up. It's called White Duck Taco.
Oh, yes. That was so delicious.
So, I mean,
I remember when we'd gone there, like, there was some, like, cute guy who had a dog, and we had seen him walking around downtown, and then we had also seen him at the taco place, and I was like, oh, look, my boyfriend.
Right. Your boyfriend and his dog.
And he's come here.
Or your boyfriend and his human.
My boyfriend and his human. Yeah, for real. Because Nadine's dog, Asher, is your boyfriend.
Is my boyfriend.
Yes. Dog boyfriends.
Dog boyfriends.
They never disappoint.
No.
Hey, everybody. We are actively planning our hiking for this year. And so you know what that means. Our moon travel guides are out and about. We're marking them up and we're writing in all of our notes. We sincerely love them and we use moon travel guides all the time.
Moon is our favorite travel guidebook publisher because their authors are real people who live in and know the areas they're writing about like the back of their hand.
And we can trust them. From hikes to campsites to city sites to restaurants, Moon Travel has you covered.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have a lot of great ideas for trips but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings might take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel has you covered.
Moon Travel is the travel guidebook publisher for ethical travel.
Don't spend months trying to craft the perfect getaway when you can do it all with Moon.
Whether you're headed out abroad, planning to take on the open road, or want to wander the trails of a national park, make sure to pack a Moon Travel Guide with you.
And through the end of 2024, our listeners can exclusively get 20% off any Moon Travel Guide when you go to moon.com. Use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's right. That is moon.com and use code GAZE24. And that's GAZE24 for 20% off any Moon Travel Guide in Moon's entire library at moon.com. And that is exclusively for GAZE listeners. One has to go.
Okay, one has to go.
Start us off, Mike.
So, since we started or talked a little bit about in this episode, the holiday of Halloween, my one has to go relates to holidays.
Okay, I'm ready.
And they are our end of the year holidays. So, yes. One has to go. Halloween, Thanksgiving, or Christmas?
Thanksgiving.
Really?
Yeah. I appreciate Thanksgiving. I just feel like the accuracy of what actually happened in the historical context of that is a little, like, we could do better, I think.
Right, just like Columbus Day. Why is that still a thing?
Why is that? Now, I mean, I am saying that as far, like, I'm keeping Halloween just because of the costumes.
Right.
And as far as Christmas goes, like, I mean, obviously that's super, like, Christian-centric, but I guess I just, I personally like the decor of Christmas slightly more.
Okay.
And I was born and raised in a house that was, like, Christmas was, like, all out. And so, yeah, my little heart is here for, like, all of the things that come with Christmas. And I mean, I do feel like Thanksgiving often, like, ushers that in, but I think Thanksgiving is a little moldable and we could reappropriate Thanksgiving, I
sure
think.
But other things are set in stone here,
yeah,
as far as holidays go. Okay, I'll take
I understand.
I just feel like I'm very tired with the overhype of Christmas and the it being everywhere from, like, August going to February.
I know, but you know this is capitalism, and of course that's going to happen.
Oh, I know, but I just, like, I think it's deadened it for me.
Let me tell you something. This is truth, okay? I'm revealing a piece of truth right now. Last season, holiday season, when I went down to visit my family, staying at my mom's house, let me tell you, the TV was exclusively on the Hallmark Channel, not by my choice, but by my mom's, and it is her house, and she has every right to watch the Hallmark Channel.
Right.
But let me tell you, that was an experience, having to watch so many made-for-TV Hallmark films, which I
hear there's a drinking game involved with Hallmark movies.
Oh, there could be many.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah. But every time someone finds a puppy.
Right.
Every time a Christmas miracle happens.
I have found that every Hallmark movie is essentially the same.
Right,
which
right,
is
right.
Like, there's like a woman at the center, often a white woman, who is like, has like a really high powered job, but for some reason, like, has to return home back to the hometown mm-hmm. where she came from, where she thought she would never get back to.
Mm-hmm.
She also has a boyfriend from the city, but she gets back and like, and because of some event that has happened, either like a death of somebody or they've discovered some box and she has to come like gather the belongings inside
of the box
or perhaps like a school is like being closed down or a library is going out of business or something like that. Like she has to return home and she ends up like working the same job she worked in high school and like running into the same boyfriend that she had in high school when she was a different person before she moved to the city and turned all city folk. And then like she has to at the end choose between like the city guy and the hometown guy. And this she always like, goes with the hometown
this
guy.
This sounds like Sweet Home Alabama.
Basically,
I think
Sweet Home Alabama
stole the Hallmark Channel's playbook.
Or did they give way to the Hallmark Channel's playbook?
Who will know? It's
who
like,
will know?
What came first, the chicken or the egg?
For real.
It's a question
Sweet Home
for
Alabama
the ages, folks.
Or the Hallmark Network. Right, I know. My God. It's so true.
So what's my one has to go?
What your one has to go is... food in Asheville.
Oh, okay.
One has to go.
Okay.
12 Bones Barbecue, Biscuit Head Biscuits, and the tacos.
White Duck Taco.
From White Duck Taco.
Okay. Well, I mean, I feel like those are three pretty iconic spaces there.
They are iconic spaces.
Biscuit Head
so
is not going anywhere, I'll tell you that right now. That
no,
is
never.
On the, that's staying on the list. I mean, I really enjoy a good barbecue. But I love tacos, so I think that
so,
I think 12 Bones is going. I mean, it's really, really good. I mean, a great barbecue is, you know, something you never want to let go of. But when there's tacos in the way, so 12 Bones, goodbye.
Okay.
I'm sorry. We love you still.
Yep. This has been Trail Mix by Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast.
Follow us on Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks and on Twitter at Gaze at the Parks. That's Gaze, G-A-Z-E.